Seven. Okay, boys. Welcome, everyone. I hope everyone enjoyed the Yom Yin so far. A lot of familiar faces, a bunch of new faces to be in the year. I hope to get to know and schmooze with all you guys. My name is Rabbi Yisrael Feld, just to meet all of you. And so the purpose of today's Yom Yin as a whole is to prepare ourselves. Games are won in the film room, in practice. You can't just show up to Yom Kippur, to Sukkot, without preparing just a little bit. Agreed? And if you didn't, would you say it?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. So here we're going to go. So you guys just had a slot on Yom Kippur. I'm going to share a little bit of an idea with Sukkot. I want to think. I want to be a thinking person for just a minute. What is Sukkot? What are we commemorating? Every single holiday in the Jewish calendar commemorates something. So for example, Hanukkah is commemorating
the
miracle of
war.
Yeah, war, miracle of the candles. That was not supposed to be a trick question. Pesach. Tzitzis Mitzrayim, freedom, Matos, you name it, each one has a Sukkot. What do we do?
Living in the Midbar.
Loud in the Midbar. Did you guys read the titles of the Shmooze or no? The Gemara in Sukkot, despite popular belief, I do learn Gemara. The Gemara in Sukkot, Sukkot at Daf Yud Aleph says, brings two opinions down. Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that what are we commemorating on Sukkot? What are we reliving on Sukkot? Sukkot mamish. The fact that when we left the Midbar, have you ever been outside in the desert in the summer? It's pretty hot. In April time? It's pretty hot. Imagine being out there and not having a place to live that was going to cover you. So what are we commemorating? We're commemorating the fact that there was, we lived in sukkahs. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us sukkahs to live in. Nice. What's the other opinion? Rabbi Elazar says the other opinion that we're commemorating is the Anani HaKavod. What's the Anani HaKavod? Cloud of glory. Very good. You chant. Thank you, Arts Girl. What's the Anani HaKavod? It led us. It protected us, it led us, it gave us shade. It was an amazing miracle that Hashem gave us the cloud of glory. And that's it. So either way you slice it, whether we're commemorating the Sukkot or we're commemorating the Anani HaKavod, which is the Gemara in Sukkot, that Yud Aleph, if you want to be a person who knows Torah, write it down. Either way you slice it, I have one basic question. Why is it right now? When should we celebrate Sukkot? Right after Pesach. Imagine this. You'd have like 3 months in a row off. You have Pesach off. The seventh day of Pesach, the Jewish people cross the Yom Suf. And then after that, you start Sukkot. That's when it should be. Imagine for a second you say, my birthday is December 31st. I do accept presents. Can't wait to see everybody. December 31st, my birthday. Let's say I wake up tomorrow. I'd say it's my birthday. Oh, really? You're born on September, whatever tomorrow is. September 14th? Oh no, I'm born December 31st. I just decided it's my birthday. And if you think that's a far off story that would never happen, listen to this. It was my daughter's birthday in the summer. One of my daughters, thank you, appreciate, she's 3 years old, her name's Orly. Birthday is August 10th. I have an older daughter, her name's Yakira. The day she felt so jealous that it was her younger sister's birthday, the next day she wakes up, it's my birthday. I'm like, no, it's not. Your birthday's in April. It's my birthday. If you were not singing her happy birthday, we're getting her a cake, we're getting her a present, she was throwing a fit. She declared the next day her birthday. So these things do happen. But you would think that a Kodesh Baruch Hu would say, no, I'm going to make it, I'm not going to celebrate my miracle in a totally 6 months different from when the event actually happened. Why are we celebrating Sukkot here in Tishrei and not in Nisan? Why are we celebrating in September and not April? When it actually happened. And if you want to tell me for some reason, maybe simply they want to do holidays back to back, so why are you picking right now? We have a busy month as it is, let's pick a different time. You ever think about this? You ever think about why it's now and not at a different point? Anyone want to throw out an answer? Yeah?
I feel like one reason why it's not right after Pesach and in the summertime is because then we'd say that non-Jews wouldn't acknowledge the...
Oh, beautiful. The Torah. We're going to get there in 1 second. Beautiful, Matthew. Yeah. You don't like the question.
I was just saying that I feel like the question comes up every year, and every year, like, Like, I felt like I've heard this question before.
Good.
Forget the answer.
You're never going to forget these. You never heard it from me. Now you're never going to forget it. Moises.
So this whole seal of the car tomorrow, so it's like right after Yom Kippur, which is a very high point, you feel this like closeness.
Ooh, beautiful. We're definitely going to get that. I love it. All these points are great. So we have to start with Matthew's point first. The Torah writes the following answer. The Torah says, why is it now? By the way, this question is too glaring not to think about it. You guys are in yeshiva, we got to think now. It's too glaring not to think about it. So the Torah gives an answer. He says that we want to make it recognizable that what we're doing is for Hashem. He says in the month of April, everybody's sitting outside in their huts. Everyone's got their nice houses and they're sitting outside, they're relaxing. But he says in the month of September, October, in Tishrei, whatever it is, this year it's a little earlier, usually it's in October a little bit. Should I get rid of the chair for the video?
This one video.
Get rid of the chair? Okay, if I forget what I'm saying, it's not my fault. It's the chair. It says the Torah that in the month of Tishrei, everyone is going inside. And now we're going outside. It's recognizable. It's recognizable that what are we doing? We're doing it for Hashem. We're not doing it because it's a nice... Anyone here from Florida? You're going outside, chilling. I think it's called like a pergola, right? They go outside to the pergola, whatever. They go outside to their outdoor sitting area. We're doing it for a different reason. Someone asked me a question on that, though. So the answer, very simple. The answer is... So why Tishrei? But now I know... No, because in Tishrei, it's the time where everyone's going inside. Everyone get the answer? Everyone's going inside... And that's when we're going outside. If we go outside at a time where everyone else is going outside, what's the big deal? We're going outside right now, when everyone's going inside. It's showing why are we doing this for Hashem. What's the problem with that? Yeah. Okay, it's a good question. Let's say it's for us. I feel good. Everyone's running back to their dorms after Yom Kippur. I'm going to clean up the base. I feel good. No one knows I'm doing it, but for myself, I feel good. Anyone else? Take a look outside the window and tell me what's a flawed statement. It's gorgeous outside.
Yeah.
At night, over Sukkot, it's going to be gorgeous. So the Rambam has the same question. He says, that's a great theory if we do it in January. But right now, it's actually probably pretty similar to April. It's like not too hot outside. It's like nice, beautiful weather. So he says, I don't understand. What are you saying, Tor? What are you coming up with? So I want to suggest three reasons. Yeah, you got a question?
The Torah did it in Israel.
Oh, very good.
You gotta go to Denver, by the way.
Denver, it's cold?
We get snow here.
I've been to Denver.
Every third year.
It's a little later. I've been to Denver right after Sukkot, but not on Sukkot. It's a good point. That's a very good point. So, but the Rambam, who lived in Egypt, so he has a problem with this. So I want to offer three reasons why Sukkot is right now. Three reasons why Sukkot is right now. Yeah, you're wrong. Oh, that's it. I mean, that's the hottest time, maybe. It's not the hottest time. It should be in August, July. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. Yeah. Oh, okay, we're going to come to that at the end. We're going to come to that a little bit at the end. So this is what I want to suggest, and it's along the lines of what Moshe was saying. I think that it has to be right now. It's the only time in the calendar year that actually makes sense, and I want to give you three reasons why. What are we coming off of? By the time we get to Sukkot, we're coming off of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and now comes Sukkot. Now comes Sukkot. What are we asking for in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah, I'm saying, I've done things wrong this past year. I've made mistakes. I'm admitting them. And in Yom Kippur and in Rosh Hashanah, I'm going back. I'm saying, you're the king. You're the one I want to serve. I want to do it for you, God. Now Yom Kippur is, I'm sorry. I made mistakes. I did. Then what happens? We go back to our normal life. Imagine that. Imagine if we went back to our normal life. We talked the talk on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yitzchuva. Now it's time to walk the walk. Sukkot is the time of year where I go out and I actually do all those things that I said. All those things I said. We're not fakers. We're not lying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we're trying to do is live an honest, best Jewish life we could possibly do. So I come and I admit to you, I've made mistakes this past year. This coming year, I'm going to do better. This is my Shana Aleph. This is my time to change, my Shana Bet. And now is the opportunity to go out and make that change. I talked the talk, now I'm going to go walk the walk. You know, Sukkot is the only holiday we do when we're fulfilling the mitzvah of being the sukkah with our whole body. Think about it. Every other, I put on my tefillin is my arm. I blow a shofar, it's with my mouth. I guard what I watch, it's with my eyes. What? Mikveh. Good one. That's what someone said last time also.
Men are not given.
What?
Men are not given.
Yeah. So you don't, it's not a chiv d'oraisa. It's not chiv d'oraisa. Kibbutz, I don't know if that's, is that with your whole body? You can come with certain things. It's like, not, yeah. Okay, it brought down in the Sarm that it's the only mitzvah that you go in with your whole body and you perform. Because then you're saying, I'm all in on this guy. I gave you my word. I'm going to go out and actually do it. There's an old school mashal that I like. There's a king who wants to make a huge party. Massive party. So what does he do? He can't just throw a regular party. Because a lot of people throw a party. He's the king. So he decides he's going to have something you've never seen before in a party. He's going to have these cats who are waiters. That's what he's going to have. And he trains 6 months. He's training the cats over and over and over again. And they're dressed in a fine tux. Your picture, a cat in tux. It's got a little thing over the arm. It's like a butler. It's ready to go. And it comes, the cat's ready, he's pouring wine. Everyone's like, only the king could have cats as the waiter. What happens in the middle of the party? Things are going flawless. A mouse comes running down and all the cats just lose it. All the cats just lose it. Because no matter how much you train a cat, it's still a cat. You can't take that out of it. We're training ourselves for 2 weeks, 40 days, from Elul through Yom Kippur. And the question is, are we still that same person? That the first thing that a Yitzhar comes running past us, we're going to drop everything and just run after it? Or we're a changed person? Are we a cat? Are we a cat just the first time a Yitzhar comes running by, we're going to just drop everything? Or no, we've made a change this past year. Sukkis is the time where we go out and we actually show that this is what we want to do. So reason number one of why it's not there and why it's specifically here in Tishrei is it has to follow Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sesame Tshuva El, that whole process. It's to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, to show Hashem, I'm all in. I'm actually going to do this. Now the question, I want to ask a question on that answer. The question on that answer is, at some point it's going to end. So Sukkot ends. And now I go back. So the cat lasts a little bit longer, he lasts till dessert, and then he runs after it. So there's a mashal, I like to call this. I like this mashal, it's a silly mashal, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. It's a good way to understand how to grow in life and to use this time period very well. So there's a son who's very difficult for their kids, or for their parents. Maybe some of you could relate to this. There's a son who's very difficult to his parents. He was always upset. Anything you gave him, he complained, he was always upset. So they did all the classic therapy, all the classic this, all the classic that. The father's like, I need to think outside the box. What can I do outside the box? He's like, that's it. I need a box. So he goes to the store and he gets the biggest box you've ever seen. Huge box. And he brings it home, and his son's like, what's that for? He's like, no, nothing, don't worry about it. And he starts coloring the box, and he's cutting the box, and he's shaping the box. And it's finally, every single day for a week, his son's asking, what is that? He's like, no, don't worry about it. And his son comes home from school, and he's like, you're not going to believe it. The dad says to the kid, I'm done. He's like, what are you done with? He's like, don't worry about it. And the father goes into the box, and he comes out 10 minutes later. He's like, that was awesome. It's amazing. And the kid's like, no, he did not hot box the box. But he goes in, and now he comes out, and he's amazing. The kid's like, let me have a chance. He's like, you can go in, but it's called the happy box. And the one rule of the box is that when you go in, you can only think happy things. So he said, I'm ready to go in, says the kid. He said, okay, you can go in for 2 minutes today. And he goes in and he comes out and his dad asks the kid, he says, what do you think about it? He's like, all the ice cream in the world. I thought about all the ice cream, all the toys. I thought about sitting front row. It was awesome at a game. He's like, wow, great. He's like, can I go in for more? He's like, no, just 2 minutes today. The next day, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour. And then the kid is literally having the greatest time in his box. So all he's thinking about is good things. It's called the happy box. And then the father takes away the box and says, look, see, you could be a happy person in life also. You don't need the box. You just need to choose to live like that. I think in some ways the sukkah is our happy box. Of course, at some point it's going to end. At some point sukkah is going to end. But we had Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We said we're going to do better. And now we're going to go live it. Oh, so what happens after sukkahs? No, in sukkahs we're supposed to take a little bit here, a little bit there, until we become accustomed to it. You do it for 8 days over Sukkot, 7 to 8 days, depending. You're holding 1 day or 2 days. And you come out leaving it, okay, I have my happy box. I'm able to take one thing. Don't let Sukkot pass us by without making one, two, or three of the things that we said we were going to do in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur actually come into play. Reason number one why we have Sukkot right now, reason number one is to say to put our money where our mouth is. Reason number two, moving along here, is that there's a sefer, a beautiful sefer called Nesiva Shalom. If you don't know it, you will get to know it over the course of this year. And he brings a mashal. He says that there's a king, and his son rebels against the king. The prince rebels against the king. And he leaves, and the son goes on his own. He doesn't want to be, he wants to live a normal life. It's not easy being the king's son. He wants to live a normal life. And he goes out, and after a few years, he's ready to return back home. And he goes back to the palace. He knocks on the palace. His dad lets him in. And his dad has a big smile on his face. You're back, yeah. And things are awkward for the first 2 to 3 days. Like, you know, we didn't discuss where you were for the last 5 years. What was going on? And he feels a little bit of tension in the air. The son's not sure. Are his parents happy to have him back? Not happy to have him back? And not until the father sits him down in his own chambers and tells him, you're going to be the next king, and really welcomes him in, does he feel fully accepted. Even when you're back in the king's palace, as the Nesiv Shalom, you don't necessarily know that you're accepted until Sukkot. Why? Because Baruch Hu forgave us on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. But is it because he's our father? He has to. There's no choice. Because he really wants to. Sukkot is placed right after this period of time to tell us that Hashem wants us back. He's happy. He's smiling. He's been waiting for us. His mom is sitting there waiting for us. He's excited. He wants you back in his life, and you should want him back in your life. Imagine being back in someone's life because they have to be. No, he wants you to be there. And that's what Sukkot is. Sukkot is the time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am not just having you back. I didn't just forgive you because that's my job. I'm king and I have to forgive everybody. No, Sukkot is the time where I want to have you back. You know, what were the two things we said Sukkot is all about? Anybody? Remember? Come on, Sukkot, Yud-Alf, we did it to start. Chatz and Ananei HaKavod. Can anyone tell me one or two other things that happened in a miracle in the desert? Mon. That's the food, so.
Water.
Pear, the well. Think about it for a second. If we were going to commemorate two things from the desert, what would make so much more sense? Water and food. It's true. It would have been super hot without the Ananei HaKavod and without Chatz. It would have been a little bit buggy if I didn't have a sukkah. Don't get me wrong. But I'd be dead without water and food. Which one would we rather? Chatz or food? Ananei HaKavod or water? It's a no-brainer. Again, life was so much better with those things. But if I can only have two, if I was celebrating two of them, which would be Mon and Be'er, water? This is the Chida's question. The Chida asks this question. Listen to this answer. So gishmak. He says, Sukkot is not about just saying thank you for the basics. Hashem had no choice but to give us food and water. He took us out of in Mitzrayim, miracle after miracle, split the sea. What is he going to kill us in the desert? Give us no food and water? Of course he's going to do that. But did he have to give us air conditioning and a nice covering and protection from our enemies? No. Sukkot is the holiday of saying Hashem didn't just take us to, he doesn't do the bare minimum for us. He loves you. He's going above and beyond for you. After Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you could feel like, ah, oh, I'm a nothing. I don't deserve to be with Hashem. He doesn't really want me. Okay, I did a Shamdu Baganu 50,000 times. He has to accept that. No, the contrary. Sukkot is saying, I'm going above and beyond for you. Hashem's going above and beyond for me. He wants me back. He wants me back. There's an old classic mashal of a kid who leaves his parents again for years, and he's driving past exactly where his parents live on the train. And he sends his mom a message a week before. He says, I'm going to be driving past, you know, that apple tree by the train station, exactly where we live. He says, if you want me to come home, tie one white ribbon on that tree. If you want me to come home. If not, I'm just going to keep going. I'm actually going to three towns over. I'm just going to keep on going. And he's getting close, and he's literally shaking. He doesn't know. Does his parents want him back? Doesn't want him back? So he says to the guy sitting next to him, he says, I can't look. But tell me, in about a minute or two, you're going to see there's a tree. Just tell me if there's a white ribbon around this tree. So the guy says to him, he's waiting, new, the guy's eyes are covered. The guy next to him says to him, there's not a ribbon around the tree. Every single tree is covered in white ribbons. And that was his message, that his parents didn't just want him back. Weren't just okay with having him back, they really want him back. Kadosh Baruch Hu is covering our sukkah. He's giving us not what we bare minimum. He's dying to have us back in our life. After Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's not like, okay, I'll let you slide back in. He's begging us to come back. That's what he wants. Now, there's a pasuk that says, Zekili v'amveyu, that you're supposed to glorify the mitzvah. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins, both for Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, that when does this apply more than any other time? On Sukkot. Tomorrow, for many of us, ordered lulav and esrogim with Rabbi Ifra. You're going to come. Everyone's going to be looking, wants to buy the nicest lulav, nicest esrog. It's a time where if you're going to splurge on a mitzvah, says the pasuk, this is the time you should do it. Why here? Again, it's a nice thing to buy a beautiful matzah. It's a nice thing to buy a beautiful Hanukkah menorah. Why specifically by Sukkot? So I think you could say it's the same reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went above and beyond for us on Sukkot, so we're going above and beyond for Him. We're saying to Him the exact same idea. You didn't have to give us sukkahs in the desert. You didn't have to give us the Ananei HaKavod. You had to give us water and food because we would have died. You went above. You really want us back in your life. We really want you back in our lives. Reason number two of why Sukkot is placed right here in Tishrei, even though it didn't happen, is because it's the feeling that Hashem is accepting us wholeheartedly. He really, really wants us back. That's why also, I think it's called Yom, it's called Chag, it's called Zman Simchasenu, the time of happiness. You know, every single holiday, when you say Kiddush or in Davening, it's called something different. Sukkot is called Zman Simchasenu, the time of happiness. Why is this a happier time than Shavuos? Shavuos, we got the Torah. Why is this a happier time than Pesach? Pesach, we became a nation, God's supposed to see. Why is this Zman Simchasenu? Because when you know that God wants you in your life, how can you not be happy? How can you not be happier than any other time? Rav Soloveitchik points out, used to be a picture of him right here, it's not here anymore. Rav Soloveitchik points out that in the Torah, I think he says 8 times it commands you to be a happy person. 8 times, if I remember correctly. 8 times it commands you to be a happy person. He says, before or after every one of those 8 times, you'll find the word lefnei Hashem, before Hashem. The definition of someone being happy in the world is if you're with Hashem. That's the definition. Why is it Zman Simchasenu? Why is this holiday the happiest of all? It's because it's the time where we're saying Hashem really wants us back in our lives. That's what it is. Hashem is dying to have us back here. That's what He wants. That's what He's looking for more than anything else. So reason number two is why is Sukkot placed here? Is because it's an expression of love, of really wanting us back in our life, not accepting us back after Rosh Hashanah and Kippur because He has to, because He wants to. The third and final answer that we're going to go for today of why Sukkot is where it is probably the least spoken about. But to me, it's so obvious and clear and important to discuss. And we'll discuss this as a yeshiva many times this year because I think it's one of the saddest things maybe that is overlooked in our nation. And that is, think about this for a second. Every single person, let's say for the most part, is clear. Hashem forgives him. Clear from sin. Everyone is equal after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're all starting fresh. A new year. We'll all have a clean slate. It's the time of Sukkot, I believe, that we need to have achdus, unity, more than any other time. If you think about it, everyone leaves their nice fancy house. I live in a big house, small house, this community, that community. Everyone's outside. Everyone's leaving their nice fancy stuff and sitting outside. Everyone has a clean slate. We're all in this together. You know, Sukkot in Rosh Hashanah is a very, very selfish time. Very selfish time. Let's be honest with ourselves. Of our own, by the way, you should pray, you should daven in English. Hashem understands English. So we daven, I'm sure, if we're being honest with ourselves, how much do we daven for ourselves or people really close to us on Sukkot, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? How many of us daven for the guy sitting next to them? Your chavrusa, your friend, your rebbe, your campers, people back home. Maybe some who really need it. What? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a super selfish time. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. We're all diving for ourselves. We're diving for our parents, our siblings, our best friend maybe. But who davened for the standard roommate? Anyone want to answer that question? I'm going to accept that as your answer. So that it's a super selfish time. The issue is we're not playing an individual sport. Judaism is a team sport, like it or not. You know, Rav Chaim Kanansky is on the level of bringing Mashiach. Rav Nebenzahl, a lot of people are. But is Mashiach here? No, because he's not playing an individual sport. It's a team sport. So I'm not saying don't daven for yourself on Yom Kippur. I think it's nice to daven for somebody else also. It's like based off of Gemara, actually. But what I'm trying to say is that afterwards, we need to understand, okay, I'm the best me right now. I've become the best version of myself. Now, how do I fit in to the greater picture? And that's what Sukkos is. Sukkos is we're all in this together. We're all a clean slate. There's no more judging you. I'm better than you. Less worse than you. I live here. You live there. We're all outside. We're all clean slate. We're all in this together. There's no other way of viewing it. You know, the way I like to see it over and over again in the Torah called, we're called Tzivakos of Hashem, the army of God. The army of God. An army, who's the most important person in the army? What's the most important unit? Someone could say, I don't know, paratroopers or whatever. I know you pick the SEALs.
The
Air Force, very good. You could pick it. It's hard to say that there's a more important unit than another one. Because the Air Force can't do anything if they don't know the intelligence. If intelligence doesn't tell them what to do, they can't do anything. And the paratroopers can't go in if the foot soldiers didn't clear the space. And the guy who's giving the intelligence can't do anything if the guy who's getting the coffee for the guy who's staying up all night figuring out the intelligence isn't able to stay up. In an army, there's no one more important person than other people. There's people who have different roles than other people. That's what the Jewish people are. There are people who are going to be the Gedolei Ador, and they're super awesome. And we should look up to them and hang up pictures one day in your house of them. You'll have a successful house. Hang them up. That's what Chaim Kanevsky, Rav Nebenzahl, you name it. Those are the people who are hung up on our wall. Those are the people who maybe you call the Air Force. But they're not in this alone. Someone's got to support them. They have to give shir to somebody. And those people giving shir have to go paskin for somebody else. And those people need to be simple Jews, and Jews to do kirov, and Jews to be working lawyers, doctors. We're an army. We're not playing an individual sport. Sukkos is the time where we're saying, okay, I become the best version of myself as an individual. And right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and right after that, now Sukkos is how do I work it out with everybody? Listen to this Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows: It says, "Kol Azrach BiYisrael Yashu BeSukkos." Then all the Jews in Israel should dwell in the Sukkah. What does the Gemara say? Melamed, we learn from here, Shekol Yisrael Ruin LeYashu BeSukkah. That every Jew should sit in one Sukkah. According to the Gemara, the best way to have Sukkos is every Jew's in one Sukkah. Why is that? Simple. That's what we are. Sukkos is about uniting and saying, I am going to come together in one Sukkah. It's not about Gashmius, Ruchnius. We're all on the same level now. We're all in this together. There's no other ways about it. You know, we have something called Hakel. It comes once every 7 years. Anyone know what that is, Hakel? Nope, that's something different.
Oh, leaving the food that
follows. Oh, that's also something different. But these are all good things. And all in Judaism. Very good, right religion. Yeah. Oh, so do what? Everyone comes once every 7 years to hear the laning of the Torah from the king. It's called Hakel. What does Hakel mean? By the way, Hakel means to gather. They're gathering together. Hakel could be any time of year. When is Hakel? Hakel is on Sukkos. Because Sukkos is the time to gather up. But listen to this pasuk about Hakel. It's such an interesting pasuk. So I want you to envision it. Literally, all Jews, any person you've ever seen, gather together to hear the king read out of the Torah. Listen to this pasuk. The pasuk says by Hakel, Hakel, gather, Esa'am, the nation, Ha'noshim, Ve'noshim, Ve'ataf. The men, the women, and the little kids.
Last week's
parsha. Last week's parsha. Where'd it be? Last week's parsha. So says Rashi, why are the little... I get it. The women are coming. The men are coming. They're coming to hear the words of the Torah. Why are the little kids coming? So Rashi gives his answers based off the Gemara and Chagiga and Gimel that says what? The little kids, they don't understand the Torah. They're coming. When they come, it gives reward for their parents. That's what Rashi says. Why are these little kids coming? They're giving reward for the parents. I want to suggest another answer. Listen to this. Listen to this answer. It's so... The answer is, why are we bringing our little kids? Why don't we leave them home with babysitters? is because you're right, they're not going to learn the message of the Torah, the words of the Torah. They're not going to know how to read and translate and hear what the king's saying. But they're going to learn the most invaluable lesson in Judaism. What are they going to see? Hakel. Achdus. They're going to see everyone gathered together. Even a little kid could grab that and understand that. They're going to see Jews with long pants and Jews with tattoos, and it doesn't matter because you're a Jew. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to tell you, oh, you're a Jew. And that's what Sukkos is all about. After, and I'm not saying again, I'm not saying it's bad to daven for yourself in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's awesome. It's amazing. But now we have to realize that I'm an individual on a team. And that's what Sukkos is all about. Listen to this midrash. I'll try in a schmooze more to do more stories and less reading inside. But if you would excuse me, I have to read this inside. Anyone, any objections? Speak now. Forever hold your peace. Be that guy. That's what I thought. Listen to this. Listen to this idea. It's a midrash Vayikra Rabba Lamed Yud Beis. Everyone say Lamed Yud Beis. Because you have to have this and put it in your pocket for life. Listen to this. Pre-Eitz Hadar. So we spoke a lot about what Sukkah is. Sukkah. We haven't spoken yet about the Arba Minim. Listen to this. Pre-Eitz Hadar, the whole Arba Minim are the Jewish people. What does that mean? What does it mean that the Arba Minim? I want you to focus on this really well. Elu Yisrael, Ma Esrog. What's an Esrog? An Esrog, Ze Yesh Bo Tam, it has taste, Ve Yesh Bo Reach, and it has smell. Kach Yisrael, Sheesh Ben B'nei Adam, Sheesh Ben Torah, Ve'yesh Ben Meisen Tovim. That stands for the Jew that learns Torah and does mitzvos. Because it has taste and smell. That's an Esrog. Kapos Tamarim, which is a lulav. Elu b'nei Yisrael, this also stands for some Jews. Ma tamarim hazu yesh bo tam. I never knew this, but if you eat a lulav, it has flavor. Ve'im bo reach, but doesn't have smell. Kach heim Yisrael, yesh behem sheyesh behem. Torah, those are the Jews that have Torah, but ve'im behem meisim tovim. But they don't have mitzvos. So it has taste and no smell. That means they have Torah and no mitzvos. Listen to the next one. Va'anaf, which is adasim. Eight avos, elo yesh Yisrael. These are also some Jews. Ma'adash yesh bo reach, it has smell, ve'ein bo tam, but no taste. Kach yisro yesh behem, sheyesh behem meisim tovim. Ve'ein behem Torah. Those are the ones that do mitzos, but not meisim tovim, the flip-flop of the lulav. Listen to the last one. Ve'arve nachal la'arovos, elo Yisrael. Those are some Jews. Ma'arovozu, ein bo tam, it doesn't have taste. Ve'ein bo reach, and has no smells. What are those? Kach, heim, Yisrael. There's also some of the Jews. Yesh behem, Adam, she'ein behem, lo Torah, v'lo ma'isin tovim. Those are the Jews that have nothing. They don't either. What happens? Uma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oselam. What does Hashem say to do with all these things? All the Jews. What does Hashem say to do with them? He says as follows. He says, La'adon i'eshar. You can't lose anybody. Ella Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yikashru Kulom Aguda Achas. You tie them together in one tie. You take everyone together. Vehein Mechaprim Elu Elu. And this is how each one is Mechapar, atones for another one. What do we do on Sukkos? We take all Arba Minim and we tie them together in one bundle. If I take an Esrog, then I take a Lulav, then I take a Dasan and a Rebos, I'm not Yotzei, the Mitzvah. When I take them all together, the Jews who have Torah, Meisim Tovim, the ones who have Meisim Tovim but no Torah, Torah but no Meisim Tovim, and the Jews who have nothing, the only way the Esrog, which is the ultimate Jew, is Yotzei, is if he takes the bottom of the barrel, also the Arava. You need everyone. Achdus is all about everyone. This year is going to be the ultimate year, whether you're Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, of growth. And it's all about, I tell people all the time, you need to be selfish, Shana Aleph. You need to be selfish. Your chavrus is not working. It's going to be hard for him to break. It's going to be hard. He's going to hurt his feelings a little bit. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it, but you have to break up with him. It's your opportunity to learn. Again, speak to your Rebbe. There's always a right way to do it. Don't hurt a guy's feelings. You have to be selfish. Your roommate's holding you back. You have to switch rooms. It's your time to be selfish. But understand you're an individual playing a team sport. That's what it is. You want to become the best you, and that's what Sukkot is all about. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you refine yourself to be the best person. Now, I want to make a point clear, and Amir just have a point this year, we'll speak about Achdus together. I don't want to get too far into it, because I can speak about it forever, because it bothers me so much when there's a lack of Achdus. But Achdus does not mean that we're all on the same page. Achdus doesn't mean We're all on the same page. Imagine I walked in here and there was 40 guys sitting in front of me and everyone looked exactly like me. That'd be insane. Insane. Everyone looked exactly like me. Balding 28-year-old. It'd be like, what is going on? It makes no sense. Would I ever expect for me to walk in here and there's 40 guys who think exactly like me also? We expect that. We want everyone, yeah, my political views, my religious views, my favorite teams, my this, my that. You have to be exactly like me. Oh, you don't agree, so he should be president, we should hold this halacha that way, one day, 2 days? Wait, why are you expecting to think exactly the way you think? Do I expect you to look the way I look? No, it's the exact same thing. It's like I'm driving down the highway, every single car that's going slower than me is a grandma, like they can't drive. Like, learn how to drive, you're honking them, they're crazy. And then the guy zooms past you, and he's like, look at this crazy guy, he's going to kill somebody. You think you're the only one on the whole highway who knows how to drive. Everyone's going too slow, can't drive, I'm going too fast, it's crazy. That's how drivers think. Not everyone needs to be the exact same as you, and not everyone has to be perfect to have achdus. I respect our differences. I respect you because you're different. There's a story I just heard that a rabbi came to ask of Chaim Kanievsky about, he wanted to name his daughter, and people decide this, people do different things. Him and his wife decided when they were young that they were going to switch off. You pick the first name, I pick the second name, you pick the third, fourth, they had 27 kids. So they kept going back and forth. And okay, so he comes to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and his wife, he tells Rav Chaim that his wife wants him to name his daughter Michal tomorrow. And Michal and Tanakh, she has some complaints against her. Some complaints. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who's very tough on names, he's actually famous for saying you have to use certain names. And he says, Michal gives it a double thumbs up, you can use the name. And the guy fights back, Rav Chaim, he says, why are you saying it's okay? There was tainus. There was complaints on Michal and Tanakh. And you know what Rav Chaim says back to him? You're totally right. So he's like, so I could tell my wife not to name her Michal? No. Because there was tainus on Avram and Yitzchak. And Yaakov, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu had a ton of tainus on it. He said, tell me one person in Jewish history that doesn't have complaints. People have complaints. We have differences in the world. That doesn't mean that that person we can't respect and love. And Sukkot is the time where even with our differences, we're all outside. We're all mechaper our sins. We all come clean slated, nothing to say besides for unity. And I'll end, yeah.
Obviously, like certain names that we shouldn't name kids.
Yeah, but he was saying just because that there's someone had a complaint on her in Tanakh doesn't mean, just because she's not perfect. He was saying she's not perfect.
Oh yeah, he's still very tough on names.
He's very tough on names because there's certain things he's told is not a name. He's not saying Michal. No one was arguing if Michal is a name or not. He was arguing if that's someone good to name after or not. So there's certain names not to get into right now. He's very into, has to show up in Tanakh in order to be a name. It doesn't have to be your Rebbe. My first two kids' names are both not in Tanakh. Not saying that's good or bad. It's good for Shalom Bayis. Here we go. The last thing I want to say is the following thing. When do we get the Torah? Not a trick question. When do we get the Torah? When? What? Shavuos? It's partially true. Oh, who said that? Dope. Yom Kippur. Because we got it twice. We got it twice. We got Shavuos. We got Yom Kippur. Because we got two luchos. Which was the one we actually kept? The one of Yom Kippur. Underrated fact right there, right? Yom Kippur was the time we got the Torah, and that's the luchos that lasted. What do we know about when we received the Torah? What was the one prerequisite to receiving the Torah? What was the one prerequisite? Prerequisite. Before you could get the Torah, Hashem had to see. The Pasuk says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. We can't. On the foot of the mountain, Zot Rashi, a very famous Rashi, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. One nation, one heart. In order to receive the Torah, there was one prerequisite. We had to have Achdus. On Yom Kippur, we're going to have Yom Kippur very soon. We're receiving the Torah anew. We're saying, this year I'm going to live a Torah lifestyle. It's the same time, and that's the time where it actually lasted. Shavuos is beautiful, and when I speak about Shavuos, I'm going to speak about receiving the Torah, but since it's not for months, I can speak about it on Yom Kippur now. Yom Kippur is the one that actually lasted. You want to have a lasting Torah lifestyle? You need to have Achdus. Lev Echad. Lev Echad. That's what we had. Therefore, we received the Torah. Lev Echad is Gematria Geula. That's it. When you have a Lev Echad, we have a Geula. We have redemption. That's what we need. So just to review, why is it that Sukkot is placed now? Sukkot should be in Nisan, right after Pesach. It's placed now because it has to be placed, in my humble opinion, after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It has to. It's the only place that makes sense for three reasons. Reason number one, we pointed out, is after I say I'm going to do all these things for you, I put my money where my mouth is. It's the only time I go in my whole body, I'm actually going to live the mitzvos. Is it true? I can't have it last forever, but it's my happy box. It starts getting me in a little bit here, a little bit there. I don't want to be a cat that when the first Yitzhar runs, I dropped everything I promised Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sukkot is the time where I go out and put my money where my mouth is. I walk the walk. The second reason is that I was showing that Hashem is not accepting us because He has to, because He loves to. He wants to. He's tying those white ribbons around the tree, begging us to return. He's saying that this is what I really want. He goes above and beyond. We're not celebrating the water and the food because that's basics. We're celebrating the Ananiya Kavod and the Sukkot because those are awesome. It's a sign of love. And that's why we go out and we buy a beautiful Esrog and a beautiful Lulav. And the third reason why it has to be now is we just received the Torah. The prerequisite to receiving the Torah is Achdus, unity. That's it. We can't look at people differently anymore. We're the same people. It's the only way to be Yotzei, our Lulav and Esrog, is we are Guda Achas. We take all the different types of Jews and we put them together. And that's the way. So for all three reasons, we have right now, we're going to celebrate Sukkot. Don't allow the Sukkot to go by without taking a real, real look at what we're doing and how it could affect your lives. We should all be Zocher. Have a meaningful, fun, awesome Sukkot this coming year. Yes, go up, boys. Scott, you're awesome. Thank you.